ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये
ततो जयमुदीरये
नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु
नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवते उत्तम श्लोके
भगवते उत्तम श्लोके
भक्तिर भवती नैष्ठिकी
भक्तिर भवती नैष्ठिकी।
विच वन द स्टिक्स
11
श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 4 द अपीयरेंस ऑफ श्री नारद टेक्स्ट 11 नमन्ति
नमन्ति
यत्पादं
निकेतम्
आत्मनः
शिवाय
हानिय धनानि
धनानि
शत्रवः
कथं
कथं
सा
वीरः
वीरः
श्रियं
श्रियं
अङ्गं
दुष्टजां
दुष्टजां अहो सह असुभिः अहो सहासुभिः नमन्ति यत्पाद निकेतम् आत्मनः
नमन्ति
यत्पाद निकेतम् आत्मनः शिवाय हानीय धनानि शत्रवः शिवाय हानीय धनानि शत्रवः कथं स वीर श्रियमङ्ग दुस्तजां कथं स वीर श्रियमङ्ग दुस्तजां जुवै शतोत्सष्टुम् अहो सहासुभि जुवै शतोत्सष्टुम् अहो सहासुभि नमन्ति यत्पाद निकेतमात्मनः शिवाय हानीय धनानि शत्रवः कथं स वीर श्रियमङ्ग दुस्तजां जुवै शतोत्सष्टुम् अहो सहासुभि
नमन्ति यत्पादनिकेतमात्मनः
नमन्ति यत्पादनिकेतमात्मनः
शिवाय हानीय धनानि शत्रव
शिवाय हानीय धनानि शत्रव
कथं स वीर श्रियमङ्ग दुस्तजं
कथं स वीर श्रियमङ्ग दुस्तजं
युवै शतोत्सष्टमहो सहासुभि
नमन्ति जत्पादनिकेतमात्मना शिवाय हानीय धनानि शत्रवः कथं सवीर श्रियमङ्गदुस्त्यजाम् वै सत् उत्स्रष्टुम् अहो स अशुभिः
मतर्जीज
नमन्ति यत्पादनिकेतमात्मना
शिवाय
हानीय धनानि शत्रवः
कथं
सवीर
नमन्ति
नमन्ति
बाव डाउन
बाव डाउन
जत्पाद
यत्पाद
हुज फीट
हुज फीट
निकेतम
निकेतम
अंडर
अंडर
आत्मनः
आत्मनः
ओम
शिवाय
शिवाय वेलफेयर हानिया
हानिया
यूज्ड टू ब्रिंग अबाउट
धनानि
धनानि
वेल्थ
शत्रवः
शत्रवः
एनिमीज
कथम
कथम फॉर व्हाट रीजन
फॉर व्हाट रीजन
सा
सा
ही
वीरः
वीरः द शिवरस श्रियम अपुलेंसेस अंग ओ दुस्त्यजाम इनसुपरेबल जुवा इन फुल यूथ ऐशत डिजायर उत्सृष्टुम टू गिव अप अहो एक्सक्लेमेशन शह विथ अशुभि लाइफ Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He was such a great emperor that all his enemies would come and bow down at his feet and surrender all their wealth for their own benefit. He was full of youth and strength, and he possessed insuperable kingly opulences. Why did he want to give up everything, including his life? Please repeat after me. He was such a great emperor, that all his enemies would come and bow down at his feet. And surrender all their wealth for their own benefit. He was full of youth and strength. And he possessed insuperable kingly opulences. Why did he want to give up everything? Including his life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is nothing undesirable in his life. He was quite a young man and could enjoy life with power and opulence. So there was no question of retiring from active life. There was no difficulty in collecting the state taxes because he was so powerful and chivalrous that even his enemies would come to him and bow down at his feet and surrender all wealth for their own benefit. Maharaj Parikshit was a pious king. He conquered his enemies and therefore the kingdom was full of prosperity. There was enough milk, grains and meat and metals. And all the rivers and mountains were full of potency. So materially, everything was satisfactory. Therefore, there was no question of untimely giving up his kingdom and life. The sages were eager to hear about all these. So, Sukadev Goswami mentioned about Parikshit Maharaj. And Saunaka Rishi is asking Suta Goswami, about why, when they got to know that Parikshit Maharaj gave up everything and went to the bank of the Ganges to prepare to leave his body. And so they were surprised, because Parikshit Maharaj was ruling the entire earth planet at that time. It has been described that he was ruling the entire earth planet, including the ocean. And so he was young, he was very powerful. He was so powerful that even his enemies surrendered unto him, and they offered all their wealth to him for their own benefit. And the question is, why he did do that? Why did he do that? And so here we can see that in the Vedic culture, the custom actually was that one should go through his life through different phases. First phase is student life. In that phase, one is a brahmachari, celibate. Then the second phase is householder life. One gets married. When he finishes his education, when he is prepared to lead his life, and so he would get married and he would pursue his occupation. And there used to be different kinds of occupations. For a brahmana, the occupation was studying and teaching. For the kshatriyas, the warriors, the occupation was to give protection to their citizen, which meant internal administration and prevent the state from enemy attacks from outside. They are so powerful that they would be able to give protection in this way by defeating enemy attacks. And then the custom actually was, when somebody would attack and become defeated, then he has to surrender everything to him. And it has been mentioned here that for their own benefit, one would surrender all his wealth. The other kings, those who are defeated, they would surrender all their wealth for their own benefit. For their own benefit in the sense, it is not that the king who defeated them would take away and leave them as destitutes. No. They would give them protection also. They would take care of them. Okay. You have accepted my authority, now I'll give you protection also. That is how the more powerful king, after subduing the less powerful ones, would give him protection. Not that they would go out and attack those kings, but if they attacked and if they were defeated, then that is the custom, that they would give them protection. And they would serve as a subordinate king. They would give the kingdom back. And they would rule the kingdom as a representative of the superior king. So in this way, the world structure of monarchy was established. The smaller kings were under the greater kings. The greater kings were under the monarch. And ultimately, all the kings of the world were under one king, who was the ruler of the entire earth. So Parikshit Maharaj was such a king. It is not that those days people didn't know or didn't have access to go to other continents. So we can see that they are mentioned that including the ocean. So they had the sovereignty over the entire earth planet. It's not that civilization started 200 years back. The civilization had been there from the beginning of creation. the most civilized personality is the first person who appeared here, Brahma, the wisest of all. Of course, he is not ruling like that. He is, Brahma is the head of all the Brahmanas, so to say, Brahminical, advising, guiding. And the Brahmanas are giving the guidance. Warriors or Kshatriyas are giving protection. Vaishyas are providing the needs of the society. The Kshatriyas are busy ruling and administration activities. But the Vaishyas are the provider. The society needs food. Society needs so many things. And they would either cultivate them or provide them. Krishi, by agriculture, they would produce food. Goraksha, by giving protection to the cows, they would bring real prosperity to human society. That's why cow protection is so important. Because when the cows are protected, then everything is provided. How? That materially we cannot calculate. But the spiritual understanding is that the cows are dear to Krishna. So when the cows are protected, then Krishna becomes pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, then everything is provided by him. And that's why all the demigods are considered to be in the body of the cow. So when the cows are taken care of, the demigods are pleased. And the demigods are the ones who supply all that one needs. All the needs of the human society are provided by the demigods. Like, human society needs proper rainfall. So Indra is pleased and he takes care of that. At the right time the water comes and the whole vegetation grows. Then sun provides the rays, the light, that the vegetation develops the energy. The moon provides the nectar. That's why the vegetation becomes filled with juice. That is the source of energy. We eat. We are actually eating the nectar. The moon provides the nectar. And the nectar from the moon is actually preserved in the vegetation, in the fruits, in the form of juice, in the vegetables, in the form of energetic substance. So in this way, then the wind blows and then Lakshmi Devi provides the wealth, Saraswati provides the wisdom. So they come automatically. And as a result of that, the human society becomes happy. So, that was the business of a Vaishya. Krishi, Goraksha and Vanijya. They used to do trading. They would go to different countries, different places and bring things that are needed. And they would go to one place where they need something and they would provide that. And from there they would bring things that are like they would go to some place where they need grain, but they're growing spices. So they would take the grains to those places, give them the grains and bring the spices. The place where the spices are not growing, but the grain is growing. Some places metals are growing abundantly. So they would provide something there, what they need. So this was the occupation of a Vaishya. Like they would, in this way, they would provide they facilitate the human society by catering to their needs. That was the purpose of Vaishya or business. The purpose of business was trading. Krishi, Goraksha, Banitya, these were the three occupations of a Vaishya. And the Shudras, they were providing the service because they don't have the intelligence to have an independent occupation. The Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they're independent. They don't take anybody's, they don't work under anybody. They're independent. Their occupation is independent. A Brahmana is naturally independent. He is giving wisdom, he is giving knowledge. It is not their selling knowledge. No, they're distributing. And they're not interested in material prosperity. But a Kshatriya is very powerful and he is concerned about material prosperity. He is very opulent. And he is a warrior. He loves to fight. He knows how to fight. He is powerful. And how, what's he using the power? To protect the human society. The word Kshatriya literally means that. Kshat means injury. Kshatat, from injury. Trayate gives protection. The one who gives protection from injury to the society. What are the injuries in the society? Some enemy comes and attacks. Then the kingdom is under siege or difficulty. So he goes out, fights, defeats them. And internally, by creating law and order. Like, laws are there so that people can live peacefully and happily. So they have the law. And if anybody breaks the law, punish him. Those days there was no lawyers to fight your case, to prove a criminal innocent. Or an innocent person guilty. That's what the lawyers are doing today. The court system, justice system, the lawyers can turn and twist the system and make a criminal become free and an innocent become victim. So those days the Kshatriya himself, there was no judge, nothing called a judge. The king was the judge. And king would consult with the ministers who are the wise people. And the king was trained from his childhood, how to even judge people. They were so wise that they could, just by the way a person is speaking, they could make out whether he is lying or he is telling the truth. There used to be witnesses, but the witnesses were not so prevalent those days. The king would decide. You have committed a crime, must be punished. And when the legal system is so stringent, everybody will be law-abiding. Everybody will lead an honest life. Long back I read a book by an English journalist who was traveling in Afghanistan. And so there was an Afghan person who was taking him around. They became like friends. So one day, his guide, Afghan tourist guide, was telling him the law in Afghanistan. That if somebody steals, his right hand is chopped off. So he was quite shocked to hear that. He asked, for any kind of stealing? He said, yes, any stealing. Right in this chapter. So he was expressing his surprise. Oh, how cruel it is, just for a simple little crime the right hand is chopped off. He said, yes. And then he told him that, look, you have been in Afghanistan for so long. Did you see anybody without a right hand? Did you see anyone whose right hand has been chopped off? No. Because when the law is so strict, nobody will dare to steal. Nobody will dare to commit a crime. So that's why law and order must be maintained. Crime and punishment. They has to go hand in hand. Crime, punishment. No mercy. You committed a crime, you must be punished for that. That's why the law is there. And that's how, through the law, the order is established in the society. So law and order go hand in hand. If the law is established properly, there will be order in the society. And how the law will be established? When there is a crime, breaking a crime means breaking the law, punishment. And in this way the miscreants will be subdued and others will learn the lesson. Oh, let's not do anything like that. Let's not break the law. And it was not only in India, like it was everywhere in the world. As I was saying, like in Afghanistan, not long ago, it was even recently, I don't know what's happening there now. But we saw from the history how law and order was maintained in European countries. In England. There was the famous author Alexandre Dumas. He writes about France, French novels. And there are instances when somebody committed a crime, no matter how important the person was, he was beheaded. Of course, later on, they started to take advantage of that. Like, unnecessarily innocent people have been, after the French Revolution, innocent people were guillotined, beheaded, just because they happened to have some sort of link with the royalty. After the French Revolution, they wanted to get rid of the monarchy. And if anybody had any link, blood link, with anybody in the royal family, they all were guillotined. These are all very unfortunate developments. And these things happened only recently, the recent past. Recent past means in the last few hundred years. Otherwise the human society was very fair and just. No innocent was punished. On the other hand, the citizens could go and challenge the king. Like when Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling the kingdom, one brahmana went to him with a complaint that my son died. Why my son died before? Your fault, king's fault. He accused Yudhishthira Maharaj. That is your fault. You are ruling the kingdom. Why such an unfair thing happened? By nature's law, I should die first and then my son in ripe old age. Why my son died young? And Yudhishthira Maharaj accepted that. He held himself responsible for that. So that is how a proper leader is. The proper leader gives protection. And if there is a feeling that he had done something unfair, unjust, or something happened, in his management, he would hold himself responsible. So we can see what a wonderful situation was when Parikshit Maharaj was the ruler. And the whole world was, there was full of prosperity. And we can see that 5,000 years ago, the whole world situation was very different. It all started 5,000 years ago due to the entrance of Kali. Kali's business is to establish adharma. Kali's business is to create sinful atmosphere. And that's why in ISKCON we have the standard. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Because these are the sinful act. And Kali is promoting these activities. Meat eating is becoming rampant. Intoxication becoming rampant. Like they're becoming, going into heavier and heavier drugs. Intoxication is not only alcohol and such things. Nowadays there are opium derivatives, they are very, very powerful intoxications. And as a result of that, their mentality is becoming crippled. And they cannot survive without those intoxicants. They become enslaved. That's the meaning of intoxication, habit forming. It forms habit so much so that you can't live without that. And it has become a big business. Such a big business that, and lots of criminal activities are going on because of all these activities. All kinds of criminal activities are going on for intoxication, all kinds of criminal activities going on due to prostitution, due to gambling, and what to speak of meat eating. In a way, it's good that the world is waking up today. People are realizing the ill effects of meat eating. So these are the good signs, in a way. And our business is to promote that culture. Stop sinful activities. All the sins are based on these four sinful activities. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. So if we abstain from these four activities, then sin won't be able to touch us. Whoever follows these four activities, his or her life will become pure, free from sin. And the atmosphere in this way will become free from sin. And then only real prosperity will come in human society. So, that is a good, important responsibility we have. There is a saying, he conquered his enemies and therefore the kingdom was full of prosperity. There was enough milk, grains and metals, and all the rivers and mountains were full of potency. So materially everything was satisfactory. Therefore there was no question of untimely giving up his kingdom and life. So that was the ruling, that was the effect of Parikshit Maharaj's ruling. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question?
Yes, thank you so much for so beautifully describing the Varnasram system. I have one doubt. As you mentioned, in Holy Cow, all the demigods resides. So by serving the cow, taking care of the cows, demigods are pleased and they supply everything in abundance. But we see in the Western world cows are slaughtered, but still see they are so materially prosperous. So what means the reason?
Well, material prosperity doesn't indicate
that
everything is prosperous.
Yeah.
Like for example, during Ravan's time, during Ravan's kingdom, it was very opulent. His city was built of gold, Swarna Lanka. But was it based on pious activities? No. So similarly, whatever prosperity we are seeing in the West is just only external glamour.
Yeah.
Internally, people are very unhappy here. Why people take intoxication? Why people take intoxicants?
Forget that sadness.
If you're in a nice, you're in a joyful state, do you want to lose that state of consciousness?
No.
We have been in a suffering, like we can see that people are suffering. There may be material prosperity, but go to their house, you see what's happening. Like, they don't have any proper, healthy, happy family. Most of the families are just broken families, or they're breaking up. So this prosperity is, you know, like there are two types of prosperity. That prosperity that brings only external glamour. The other prosperity is prosperity that brings internal happiness. Out of these two, which one is more important? Right. Like some people may be living in a multi-story building, or living in a palace. In America we see that often.
Yeah.
When we sometimes we see that there are certain area which is beautiful. In big cities you have areas, you know, like where big mansions. But they're empty. Those who live in the mansion, they're out making money. There was a saying that they build these mansions, but their servants enjoy them. They're having, but their servants are living there. And they're actually enjoying that situation. And that's, you know, like they have big mansions, but they don't live there. 17, 18 hours a day, they're just out. And when they come here, if at all they come here at home, sleeping or watching TV. Even staying in a palace, but their consciousness is somewhere else watching the TV. So, and then you see, like, you know, externally so glamorous, but, you know, husband and wife are fighting. Husband is running after other women. Like we are seeing, even the president of this country is having affairs with prostitutes. What kind of society is this? And who knows what his wife is doing? So this is not proper human civilization. The proper human civilization is no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And that's what ISKCON is promoting. And by accepting this lifestyle, are you all happy?
Yeah, very happy.
You could have earned a lot of money, isn't it? And you could have come here to go to Las Vegas and pay it. And gambled and lost all your money. Or you could have done so many other things.
Yeah.
But you have accepted a life where you are happily engaged throughout the day, aren't you? And sleeping at night. Now that's another thing, they can't sleep at night. That's why they have to take intoxication. The sign of good health. The sign of good health depends on two things. Real good health or real good life. Good appetite and sound sleep. If you have these two things, you're a real happy person. How is your appetite?
Some devotees are hungry by before 7 morning.
Well, Indriyesh, you got some more service. You have to provide breakfast before 6 o'clock. And how do you sleep?
I have to wake up every
day. Snoring.
They have to take anti-snoring medicines.
Anti-snoring is earplugs. if you have problems at night, then use earplugs.
Yeah.
I do that. Although no one snores around me, but I'm very sensitive. My sleep is very little noise, little sound actually wakes me up. So I use the earplugs. And still I wake up early. Last night I woke up at 12:30. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Pranandi.